demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Yeah, a couple of stories I want to run through. Not even of the day, but kind of stuff I missed from a week ago. But this one's more recent. Steelers quarterback Kenny Pickett said this morning he did deny rumors that he refused to dress as the backup to Mason Rudolph against the Seahawks. He said it was either I was going to start and play, or if they didn't think I was good enough to do that or healthy enough, I was going to be the three and not dress. He was inactive for the Week 17 win against the Seahawks, despite being designated as questionable before the game. Opened up the five-minute scrum with local media Tuesday by saying the rumors, which began spreading on social media Sunday, were false and were attacking my character and how I am as a person. He said there was no talk of me being a backup quarterback this week in terms of being a two. If I was healthy enough to play and the trainers and coaches felt like I looked good enough to play, I was going to start and play. So whoever reported that, he went on to say, I don't know where it started. It's kind of crazy what people will write and put out there to try to prove their point or help their standpoint or their careers and what you guys do. But disappointed to see that without any proof or basis of it. There's been some interesting things coming out of Pittsburgh this year. Just little things like that. Hey, listen, no reason not to believe Pickett when he comes out and says that. But did a reporter just make that up? Are we doing that now? Are reporters just flat out making things up?
I don't know if it's making it up as much as it's just assuming that, oh, he's a young quarterback and he was drafted as the face of the franchise and he's not starting, so he's going to pout. You can't make those connections.
But they're making, there's flat out a report saying that he refused. He basically refused to dress.
How do you get that information?
Where
were you in the meeting room when Tomlin was like, hey, Mason's starting?
Is there a coach in that room that feeds that information to a reporter? Because I know that stuff happens.
I mean, teams have inside sources. These reporters have, hey, I got a guy that works in the equipment room who's close with the, special assistant, special teams guy. And they, they pass this along to me, and so I'm going to report it as a big topic. Every team has these.
Yeah, very interesting there with the Steelers. And they might make the playoffs, Angel. How about that? Pretty excited about this team. Well, I'm excited about Tomlin. I like Tomlin. I'm always going to root for that guy. Let's see. Eastside Chris says, if Lamar was in Miami, would Angel be so disgruntled? Look at all the weapons. You would love. No,
it's
you wouldn't.
Happening.
You wouldn't be a Miami fan if Lamar was in Miami.
There you.
You'd
go.
Be wherever Tua was.
See, Brady pays attention.
Yeah, I do my homework. He said, "Chris, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Clay Millen entered the transfer portal last week. I don't know if you saw that, Angel. What does that mean today? Does that mean he? I don't know, because I know we're trying to fix it so that you can transfer whenever and play as soon as the next season. Could that happen for Clay? Because he already transferred once. He transferred from Nevada to CSU. So by rights, does he have to sit out another year?
Has he graduated from CSU?
I don't think so.
Then, as far as I know,
unless they change this,
unless they change the rule.
Huh. Now, that was a weird deal, man. Clay, obviously you guys know, I started a show with him last year. And he was the starting quarterback throughout the course of the season. The offensive line was bad. None of it looked right. And then he was punted from the starting spot basically 2 minutes into the second half of the Washington State game. And then it was BFN took over. Did the guys last week? Now, we haven't had BFN on the program. It's not that I don't want to. It's just haven't done it yet. Did the guys, the Ram Nation guys that had BFN on, Joel and Mike, did they talk about Clay at all? Did that come up?
I don't believe so.
Probably a tough spot. You don't want to put him in a tough spot.
I think if at all, BFN's response was, you want the best for your guys. I'm not going to get mad if you do what's best for you. So,
yeah.
Go do you.
Kind of the political. Well, if I'm Clay, I'm getting the hell out of there. No doubt. Like, this is where I like the transfer portal. Clay Millen, to me, to be fair, I don't believe was given a fair shot. And this is not an attack up on BFN. This is a, come on, dude. You pulled him after the Washington State game, the half. Like, of course Washington State's going to win that game. Especially then, they were really good. They were cooking at that point. I wasn't nuts about when he was pulled. Okay, people have, oh, Brady, it's just going to affect your radio show. I think we did fine. We got Jack Howell on, like, the next day. So we did fine there. That had nothing to do with it. I know Clay, and I like Clay. But, Angel, you battle all offseason to win a quarterback job, and you're named the starting quarterback, and you're going to let one half decide whether or not that – you're basically going to let one half take an entire offseason of work away. So I didn't like how it was handled. Now that it's all said and done, it does seem like BFN might fit what Jay Norvell wants to do more. I agree. But at the time, I didn't like it. I didn't like the timing of it. Let him finish a game, maybe two, and then make the decision. But your next game was CU, right? Wasn't that the second game for them?
Mm-hmm. After a bye week.
So you didn't want to... You don't really trust Clay at that point. And BFN has more of a kind of what was he like? Is he kind of have that? Now, I'm not going to say macho, like to demean him or anything, but he's got a little more of an edge to him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Clay's like an aw shucks nice guy, which isn't a bad thing. It's just who he is. BFN seems a little more like we're going to go win, you know, a little Namath stuff. So I didn't like that. I'm glad Clay transferred. Good for him. He deserves a different shot and a better shot. That is what's so difficult about this. We're talking a lot about transfer portals and NIL and how bad it makes the – some of us say it, how bad it might make the student-athlete look. But what sucks about it, Angel, is the athletes have been dealing with this stuff for longer than they've been able to take advantage of it. And what I mean by that – is Clay Millen finds out his coach is going to leave Nevada. And I don't know if Jay Norvell sat down with Clay. I don't know if other people sat down with Clay. Now, Jay didn't. He's claiming that he didn't. The former Nevada coach basically said, was trying to come out and trash Jay Norvell, saying that he told him either enter the portal or don't play in the bowl game or whatever it is and go to the NFL, whatever. Now, that seems to be obviously crap. But Clay was scouted by Jay Norvell and his crew. And Jay probably spent a lot of time with Clay and his family. It's your quarterback, and you're an air raid guy. So I think there was a good understanding that if I'm gonna follow you, Jay, and Jay would want that. You come here, and you're gonna run the Fort Air Raid offense in Fort Collins. And so Clay does that, and he gets the full season as a freshman, and he was not good. He was efficient. His percentage was really good, but there were a lot of checkdowns and stuff. But then you get into this year with this new and improved offensive line and all that, and you give Clay a half of a game to really try to work with that, to gel with that. So that's the tough part. Like, those of you that go after the athletes for not being patient and loyal, this stuff happens with coaches and players all the time, and we don't bat an eye. So, whereas we're looking at the transfer portal, and it is chaos, and I don't like where it's headed, I don't know how you stop it because you allowed all the other stuff to happen for so long. It's not fair. I was sitting with somebody watching a game this weekend, and he said, the athletes are kind of running the show now, aren't they? Kind of calling the shots. I'm like, to an extent, yeah, they kind of are. But for the longest time, they were put off into this shelf, and they're like, hey, no, don't don't make any money off of anything. Don't talk to anybody. Don't do any kind of endorsement deals, whatever. You stay over there. But then again, if I get a better deal, I'm out the door. You know, I can go leave. There should have just been a balance on this. It is crazy. It's getting worse, but it's still the NCAA's fault. If you would have got behind this, you would have edited this, you could have been working on things instead of just, oh, it's legal. Good luck, everybody else. Boom. And now everybody's transferring. Everybody's getting NIL money, big NIL money, and it's only going to get worse. he said, Chris, I agree, Brady. Clay followed his coach. Yeah, and that's the tough part for him. And there's stories like that that happen all the time. Coach leaves. Well, transfer portal. I know how I have a home there if I go there. Yeah, you do. You're darn right you do. And then, you weren't very good. You weren't as good as I thought you were going to be. But that's how it goes. Same thing can be said when you recruit a guy and you bring a guy over to your school. And then you end up not gelling with him. And that guy chose you over Alabama or over Michigan or whatever. He chose you. Made a mistake. It happens on both sides. And that's where I do like the NIL stuff and the transfer portal. I do like the fact that Clay Millen doesn't have to sit as a third string quarterback for the rest of his career. Like, that to me seems unfair. Brady, be better. He doesn't fit. He doesn't fit with Jay Norvell. Fit is important. Just ask Joe Flacco how important fit is. When he played for the Broncos, that's one of the most forgotten times in Broncos history, Angel. The Joe Flacco era. And then where did he go next? The Jets? Forgotten, right? Now he's with Cleveland, and he's revived this team. Not really revived. They were on their way. They were a decent team throughout. But then you wonder what's going to happen now with Deshaun and all this stuff. Well, Flacco kept him up. Not only that, he's got him in a decent spot. 18 minutes after the hour, big game tonight, a late one. CSU and New Mexico going at it. It's in Fort Collins. It should be a blast of a game. The Rams are 3.5-point favorites, 12-1 on the season. They wrapped up conference play last week. First conference game of the year for both teams, and both teams are 12-1. Both teams have absolute studs. This should be a great game. Steve Ivey's going to join us next. He does his CSU blog and podcast. If there's a CSU Rams hoops talk to be had, he's probably the guy you want to base your bets off of. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Really excited about this one tonight. I'm a little footballed out, so for the moment anyway. So getting sitting down, watching some good college basketball might be just what the doctor ordered. New Mexico and Colorado State going at it tonight. This should be a blast of a game. Steve Ivey joining us now. He's our CSU Rams hoops insider. Check out his blog and his podcast at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. Steve, my man, appreciate you jumping in with the fellas last week. Saved the show, from what I hear, and always appreciate you jumping on the program with me, man. Save the show every week.
It was a pleasure being on. As I said on the broadcast, I got to sit in the house that Brady built, and believe me, it was an honor. You are phenomenal, and I think I talked a little bit with Joel afterward. He said, "My God, this is really hard. You have to prepare so much to do a 3-hour show." And he said, "My God, Brady does this every day." So he was real. He was really, really complimentary of the work you do on a daily basis. Hey, before we jump in on the preview, I want to tell you an NIL story about football.
Okay.
It relates to the. Do we have time?
Yeah, we do.
It relates to the game last night. Did you watch the Washington game?
I sure did. Those were some interesting games.
There was a play there was a play down the stretch, maybe with about five plays before the end, where Texas threw a deep ball down the left sideline and about a 30-yard ball. It was knocked away by the Washington cornerback, kid, last name of Muhammad, number one. It turns out that kid is an NIL kid. He was at Oklahoma State last year, and I have some really good inside information regarding him. He was a good cornerback at Oklahoma State, solid, nothing spectacular, not an all-conference level player. But Washington, he went into the portal because Washington came in and offered him $150,000 to transfer. And and Oklahoma State, who's a good program, top 20 program, didn't have the money. And that kid ends up at Washington. And, you know, it's actually, you think about it, it's a little bit of a sad story about NIL, but it's also a success story, too, because now that kid got a little more money and he's playing for a national championship. So it's kind of the good and bad of the portal.
I've never gone there with you, Steve. You being such a big basketball guy, I mean, you are, in so many senses of the word, a pure college basketball fan. And obviously we're seeing it in football at a major level with NIL and transfers, but we're seeing it quite a bit in basketball too. What are your thoughts on all of this? I mean, has it, in some ways, like you said, there's good and bad with what we saw with this cornerback for Washington. Is it ruining the game, and will it continue? If it is it going to continue to get worse?
Well, I think it's out of control. Something needs to happen, but you know, you see that you can build programs, without huge NIL, at least on the college basketball side. There's fewer players. Nico has done a great job at CSU without a large amount of money. He doesn't have anywhere near the amount that New Mexico has, CSU's opponent tonight. New Mexico is the leader in the Mountain West in terms of NIL, and they've had the ability to bring in some pretty high power transfers the last couple of years. Nico basically is on record as saying, if you're interested in a lot of money in NIL, CSU isn't the right program. We'll do what we can for you, and obviously players get some, but you're not gonna get $500,000 coming to CSU. I'm good with it. I think it's good for the athletes, but there needs to be some kind of a little smarter approach, and I'm not sure the NCAA is the organization that can do that.
Yeah, that's the tough part. That's the tough part about it, is that we're wanting this to get fixed somehow, but the NCAA is the one that kicked the can down the road for so many years and arguably making it worse. It was like a snowball. They kept rolling it away, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger where they couldn't control it. So we'll see, Steve, what happens, of course. There's positives and negatives to it. I just hope the negatives don't take over. But there's a positive tonight. I am pumped for this one. 8:30, going to be a late tip-off, but New Mexico and CSU, this should be a battle. The Rams are 3.5-point favorites. They're number 13 in the nation. What are you thinking, man? I'm hearing New Mexico's getting some of their guys back too. So we're going to get this full. This is going to be a huge Mountain West game.
This is as good as it gets to open the conference schedule. If you listen to the show we did, your show we did with Joel and Mike and Jeff Grammer last week, we talked about these two as maybe being the two best teams in the Mountain West. I think they're two of the top three. San Diego State had a big win over Gonzaga on Friday night, and they're elevating their game. But these are two really, really good teams. They're the two deepest teams in the Mountain West. And as you said, getting guys back from New Mexico, CSU is getting guys back as well. Jalen Lake came back from his broken finger injury and played 22 minutes against Adams State. Josiah Strong, who's missed roughly a month with a broken wrist, got his cast off over the weekend and is a game-time decision. I don't think we're going to see him tonight. I think the trainers will hold him out until Saturday, but there's a chance you could see some minutes there. New Mexico had a couple of guys that sat out their warm-up, their tune-up game on Friday night, Donovan Dent and Drew Washington. They're expected back, so I think both teams will be at full strength or close to it. Certainly close enough, and there's enough depth there where I don't think there's much of an effect with anybody missing the game. It should be an unbelievable matchup.
Yeah, with New Mexico, Steve, I've always felt this way about this team. Like, obviously, Jalen House and Jamal Mashburn Jr., like, those guys are just studs. But for the longest time, I'm all in, like, thinking this New Mexico team's going to do something crazy. They're going to go make some noise in the tournament. And then usually right around mid to late January, early February, they drop games they shouldn't. They could score at will, and then suddenly the lights just go out. This team feels different this year, doesn't it? It feels like New Mexico actually is going to be as good as advertised.
They're very different. I think there's a couple of factors there, as I alluded to. A little stronger bench, but they have a player in the starting lineup now, a sophomore point guard, Donovan Dent, who played limited minutes last year behind Mashburn and House. He was a Southern California. He was a player of the year in California 2 years ago. He could have left. He had all kinds of offers from the Pac-12 to leave after his freshman year, and he chose to stay at New Mexico. And he's driving the bus for New Mexico now. He's elevated the level of their game, and he's really, really good. Not a great outside shooter, but really good at getting to the basket, really good at distributing the ball, much better than House and Mashburn. And in the end game, he's won two games in the final seconds this year. So he's got a little bit of Isaiah Stevens quality in him as well. The other thing they've added a better defensive big man they got from Iona, Nelly Jr. Joseph, but they also have a freshman big who's 6'9", about 200 pounds, named JT Toppin. And he's probably the freshman of the year in the Mountain West. This kid has been extraordinary. Bigs are generally a little slower to develop at the collegiate level, and this kid is basically a double-digit point and rebound kind of guy, and he's really elevated their game. So the youth that they've added isn't just the veterans they've added. It isn't just the veterans that return. It's the youth and players like Denton Toppin that have really rounded that team out. And they are lethal. They're very, very good.
Yeah, they are. And this is why this game is going to be so interesting tonight. CSU at home at Moby, three and a half point favorites in this one. Do you like that? Do you feel good about that, Steve? Are you shocked it's not a little bit closer? Or do you think that's about right? CSU's probably at home about 4 points better than New Mexico.
Yeah, I think I lean towards CSU tonight. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be, you know, I would never bet a CSU game, but I think it's more of a 5 to 7 point game tonight, Brady, to be honest with you. I think that New Mexico, people have been critical of them playing a soft schedule, and they have. They haven't played a really good team on the road since St. Mary's in the second game of the year, and they got obliterated by St. Mary's. That's the one thing these two teams share. They both have one loss, and it's both to St. Mary's at home. New Mexico got beat by 14. It was actually a 20-point game for most of the second half. I think New Mexico, being where they're at, I think this game would be better for them if it had come a little later in the season. I think they'll be ready to play, but they a little bit of inexperience coming into a place like Moby, and of course CSU has a lot of veterans in not just Isaiah Stevens, but Pat Cartier, Joel Scott, Neek Clifford. They've been around the block once or twice, and you've got a lot of veterans going against what I think is a little younger team from New Mexico.
Steve, who has been in your mind as we wrap up, or we are done with the non-conference schedule, and I think it's safe to say CSU feels pretty darn good about a 12-1 record. Second best player on this team after what, 13 games?
Oh my God, that is an unbelievable question. I have actually thought about that. You know, you've got such great contributions from Cartier, Clifford, and Scott, and then obviously Josiah Strong when healthy, Jalen Lake when healthy have been very, very important. I lean right now toward Neek Clifford, really seeing him develop. To me, it's been an incredible thing. I knew Strong was, Strong coming back was going to be good. Scott, I saw in practice looking good. Cartier, we knew what we were going to get, and he's an improved player. But I think Neek Clifford is showing that he can be an NBA level player, and has really, really taken advantage of coming to CSU. Not necessarily a high usage player, but scoring at all three levels. I mean, the guy's shooting better than 50% from three. He's shooting almost 70% from from a two-point land, shooting almost 90% on his free throws. The guy hasn't been missing. He doesn't take a lot of shots. He's very, very efficient. He's a great defender, and he's also a great rebounder. And in the open floor, he's very, very good. I think we're seeing a guy that's elevated his game to the point where he's got a future in the NBA, and I put him as a second-best player right now. And I think he'll be the X factor tonight. I'm not sure New Mexico has a player that can play with him.
Yeah, I'm glad you went there with Nick, because, again, over the weekend and last week while I'm off, I'm just seeing so many different stories about Nick Clifford or posts and, yourself, obviously, national guys looking at him saying, hey, these numbers, man, look, he might be a next-level guy. So you're right, 100%. This is Nick Clifford is turning some heads. And I do think, yeah, he'll have a monster game tonight. Maybe he'll need one of those in order for the Rams to start the Mountain West play 1-0. Man, the Mountain West Conference, Steve, absolutely stacked. Nevada, CSU, New Mexico, Utah State, well, San Diego State. There's just a lot of great teams at the top. And honestly, the teams kind of down the bottom might be guys like Boise State. Who are they? Air Force, I don't know. But there's a lot of teams in this conference that could cause some damage.
You know, it's you mentioned, so you got four teams that are 12-1. San Diego State, national finalist, isn't one of them.
Yeah.
They're 11-2. Their only two losses are on the road against two very good teams, and they have a road win at Gonzaga. They might still be the best team in the conference. And you go, those five teams are fantastic. And then you look at Boise State, 9-4, and Boise State has a 21-game home winning streak, Brady. They are virtually impossible to beat at home. That's right now considered the sixth best team in the conference. So you're looking at a really, really difficult slate of games. I haven't even mentioned UNLV. They've been a little bit of a disappointment, and yet they have a 15 or 16-point win over nationally ranked Creighton. That's considered the seventh best team in the Mountain West right now. So they're going to be, they are capable of beating anybody they play. That's the seventh best team right now. And then you look at the last four, you know, Wyoming, they can get you. They got enough shooters on that team that they can get you. And don't tell me it's an easy game going into Laramie at 7,200 feet with the way those people scream and howl at games, and then Air Force playing at elevation with their tricky style. Fresno has a very, very talented team. I don't think they're very well coached. And then obviously San Jose State with Tim Miles, they're going to be a smart team that plays hard. So that's the bottom of the conference, and every one of those games is going to be tricky. And so it's going to be an unbelievable run in over 18 games in the next 2 months.
Oh, just the next few games. Like we said, New Mexico tonight, huge game. Then at Utah State a few days later, at Boise State, as you just mentioned, tough to win there. Air Force and UNLV, and then at Nevada. So my fear is that these teams beat each other up. They're going to beat the hell out of each other by the end. But I do think that all those top four or five teams you're talking about, Steve, had good enough non-conference schedules that maybe we'll take that really into consideration when looking at the top four or five teams in the conference.
Yeah, certainly. You know, like you said, good resumes in the non-conference. I think you're looking at a four-bid league. And CSU has positioned themselves very well. The other thing is, because of the quality of the league, you're looking at probably somewhere near a dozen quad one and quad two games. And as long as you don't fall flat on your face against the lower teams, and as long as you win your good fair share of games in the quad one, quad two out of those 12 opportunities, you're going to position yourselves very, very well for the NCAA tournament. And that's what's going to be exciting. So even though they beat each other up, the real key is teams are going to have to just play and then be ready to play 3 days later. And yet, you know, I think Nico is really, really good about, you know, never getting too high, never getting too low. It's on to the next game, the next day and the next practice. And it's nice to have a mature group that I think will be able to handle. They're certainly not going to go undefeated in conference. If they won 18-0 in this conference, that would be incredible. I don't expect CSU to go undefeated. There will be some losses there, but it's you can't let a team beat you twice. You can't let the hangover of a loss affect your preparation and performance in the next game. And I feel really, really good about CSU's ability to manage that because of their maturity.
8:30 tonight, playing host to New Mexico. It's going to be on FS1, or better yet, go get out to Moby Arena. That's such a fun place to take in a basketball game. Steve, my man, what do you got for us that we can check out at your podcast and your blog throughout the day, throughout the week?
I did a new podcast this morning. Talked a little bit also about the great McKenna Hoffschild on the women's team, who's currently seventh in scoring and first in assists nationally, having an incredible year. The other thing I talked about was giving a Mountain West preview and starting to hype CSU's headband Joe Palmer, as sixth man of the year in the Mountain West and why he's probably the best candidate right now. And I think it's a pretty good listen. And on my blog, I'll write my game report tonight or tomorrow morning on the New Mexico game, hopefully with a little insight and a little from my seat in row 7 right behind Nico, and hopefully a little more insight talking to players after the game, getting some other impressions. So that's something people can look forward to, and we'll go from there.
Steve, I love it, man. Appreciate you. Happy New Year to you, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week. I'm sure we'll see you soon, too.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Brady. And again, keep up the great work. Your coverage of all sports in Colorado, and especially CSU, has been fantastic. I'm really looking forward to spending time over the next 2 months talking about this great CSU team. And let's end it with a Go Rams.
Let's do it. Go Rams. Big one tonight, man. And yeah, you're right. The next few months are going to be a blast because this is a special basketball team. Steve, we'll catch up with you next week, man.
You bet. See you later, Brady.
Steve Ivey, everybody. I love Steve. Good dude. Knows his stuff when it comes to all things basketball. Angel, why do I have a bad feeling about tonight? Why do I have a bad feeling? New Mexico has, they always scare me. They get to the point where I'm like, oh, this is a really great team, and then they don't deliver. Oh, this is a great team. They don't deliver. That's been the last couple of years. I feel a little more worried about this basketball team, but maybe that's a good thing for Rams fans because I feel great about New Mexico right now, that maybe they lose this game to start conference play.
Did you eat today?
I had two cereal bar thingies.
That could be.
Is that it?
Might just be hungry.
Just be hungry? New Mexico, man. They're good. It's a good team. Those guards are ridiculous. They got another good guard. CSU, though, and again, Steve talking about Nate Clifford, that guy's been on a different level. Like Isaiah's been as good as advertised, maybe even a little bit better. But this is the stretch that you look at with CSU. You know, New Mexico at home, then you're on the road the next two at Utah State and at Boise State. I mean, Angel, it wouldn't even be the craziest thing in the world if you started the conference play 0-3. I don't want to really speak that into existence, but I kind of did. It doesn't really mean that your dreams are shot, though, because I think all these teams are ridiculous. Now, CSU is a better team than Boise State, but they haven't lost. They don't lose at home. So this is going to be a monster start to the conference schedule, because then it's Air Force and UNLV. Okay, you should win both those games at home, and then late January the 24th, you're at Nevada. That's a battle. So the first 5-6 games, I think Nico Medved said it, it's a gauntlet, man. It's a gauntlet. And tonight, this is a big one. New Mexico, both teams 12-1. Both teams, only loss came to St. Mary's. 43 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-seven minutes after the hour, Hikes Hardware here in Greeley at 1722 9th Street will help you out, man. You got new projects. You got new things you want to do in 2024. You've been putting it off for too long. Well, maybe go over there. Start your project. They're going to help you out. They're going to hook you up. Or maybe you're not doing a project. Maybe it's just like, I need a thing. I need something quickly. I need this. I need a light bulb. I need plumbing supplies. I need a get my blades sharpened. They got you covered at Hikes Hardware. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Poll question today. I haven't even got to it. Now, I know you're gonna try to not answer this, Angel, but just humor me. Team Russ or Team Peyton? Or neither. I gave you the out.
Yeah, no.
But don't take the out.
Team Peyton.
Yeah.
Because I don't put a lot of the blame on him. I never thought that they were tied together at the start of the, when he got hired. This is obviously his team. This is where the front office wants to go with him. Wait, is this George or Sean Payton?
Sean.
Okay. Okay.
Well, if you just read it, you'll see the spelling. But yes, saying it will throw everybody off. But
sure. Sean Payton.
I'm with you.
I'm with you in that I don't think Russ has done enough.
No.
To, you know, other than just having sympathy for being in a tough situation with the front office stuff, outside of that, as a football player on the field, he hasn't done enough.
And I can't personally select neither, because that hurts too much, Angel, because I know at least one of those guys is going to be here for the foreseeable future. So it pains me deep down as a fan to just go, I'm not on either's team. I hope they both lose. I can't do that. They're the Broncos at the end of the day. If Russ somehow ends up staying with Denver, then I'm rooting for him. I'm not a Sean Payton guy, but I'm rooting for him. I want to talk more about this on the other side. Go vote on this one. Let's see. Because my Twitter would tell you it's 50-50. The vote would tell you that's kind of where it's going too. It's at thewholeshow.com. Team Russ or Team Payton? Go vote. We'll talk about it next. We'll be right back.
KFKA, home of the Hall of Famers. Brian Carey and Coach Bruce Dick. Hear them every day on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I think these injury contracts are weird. They're weird anyway. Like, if Russ would have gotten hurt Sunday or Saturday or last Saturday or any weekend, he would have been fully guaranteed $37 million. If he would have got hurt, $37 million. Now, the reason the Broncos, just so you know, the reason the Broncos wanted to ask him to waive that, or we're going to bench you, because if he got hurt, they'd have to give him $37 million. If they don't keep, so basically, by keeping him healthy, they preserve the team's ability to decide after the season whether to keep him beyond March 18th, when his 2025 salary of $37 million shifts from guaranteed for injury to fully guaranteed. If Wilson would have had an injury that didn't heal by March 18th, their hands would have been tied. So this was the business decision to make, especially because you're not going to be a playoff team. You were essentially eliminated after losing to New England a week ago. So it's quite the deal. And now you got some extremists out there saying, should there be legal action toward the Broncos? You know, them going at basically saying we're going to bench you, threatening to bench him after that. Wilson, as we played the clip back, you know, he told the entire story. He confirmed it all. They came to him in October around the Chiefs win, and that's when they brought it. I don't fault Denver for asking him and making the business decision to do this. You protected yourself. And you can use, now Peyton used it as the spark to the offense thing. Honestly, I think he should have said, we're going to do this because we want to see what we have in Jarrett Stidham. Here's Sean Payton talking about changes when it comes to the quarterback position?
I can't replace the entire offensive line. I can't bring in five new receivers. And if it continues over a period of time, then there'll be another guy here talking to you as well. This is something that, you know, these are difficult decisions. And obviously there's more attention when it's the quarterback who's under contract, but different than maybe, you know, earlier decisions we've made with maybe last year's prior starters. I can just assure you one thing, and honestly, and I've said this to Greg and George a number of times, I'm just interested in winning. And it doesn't matter how. When you do this, you know, for this long of a period of time, it's all you're interested in because there's nothing like it. And then the other side of it, you know, there's nothing like that either. So,
listen, do I buy that? Yeah, that's what Sean Payton is in this for. He just wants to win. He wouldn't have left Fox. He wants to cement himself into the NFL Hall of Fame. That's what he wants to do, with Russell Wilson or without Russell Wilson. I don't have this confirmed, but I guarantee this happened, Angel, in the offseason when the Broncos went to hire Sean Payton, whether that was in the initial process or when they were signing the contracts. The Russell question probably was something they talked about more than anything else. What happens if you get the same Russ that Nathaniel Hackett got? Well, I'm confident we can fix that. Yeah, but what happens? Well, what are you guys good with? Are you guys good with paying him a lot of guaranteed money and then suffering those cap hits and everything if we release him in March because the season didn't go as planned? Yeah, we're good with that. Then that's what we'll do. This is his year to test it and see. I doubt very much they said, no, we're committed to Russ. We want to see this contract out. Clearly they didn't. Because according to Sean Payton, he wasn't the one who approached Russell Wilson about waiving his contract or waiving the injury portion of the contract that would give him $37 million. Even if they decide to release him, they're still going to owe him the guaranteed $39 million that would come into 2025 or whatever. So this does save some money, does save a lot of money. This was the business plan. In many ways, it was genius. If you just think about them as products on the field, you were going to miss the playoffs. You even won the game, and you're out of the playoffs. So really, nothing would have changed. And you guaranteed that Russ didn't get hurt. All right, Zach Stevens will join me. He's a Broncos insider of ours. We haven't had him on in a while, so we're looking forward to that conversation coming up. And plenty more, and we'll get into more Denver Broncos talk as well. Team Payton or Team Russ? Talk about it next.